Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Listen up. Put your boots on. Let's ride. Put your hats on. Let's ride. Whatever your gear is on. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Is there anything
Let's
else?
Let's ride. Step by step. Here we go. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Well, name is on Hiski and let's take a ride. Put your arms in the air and wave from side to side.
Side to
Cheers
side.
To the best life, we got nothing to hide.
Hi.
Here's to the good life, I know you can feel the vibes,
Bye.
Eh? Pretty ladies in the back, eh?
Eh?
Drinking to the max, eh?
I think he's Canadian.
The boots and the hats, eh?
Uh-huh.
Dancing back to back, eh? Going through these cowboy beats, so you better take a cowboy seat. Bringing on this cowboy heat, cause we cowboy elites. Switch your things up, you can call me a freak. Got a farm in the back as I own all these weeds. Riding with the boys trying to make ends meet. As I hit the local shop, Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit.
Riding through the trails and I think I see a snake. Looking through my bag and I forgot all my bait.
It's kind of corny and catchy at the same time.
Nothing catchy about that.
No, it's kind of, it's corny catchy.
Bam, 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 bam.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Let's ride. What you gonna do? Let's ride. Let's ride. On what? Let's ride. In my Mazda? Let's ride.
Hey, everybody. You are now listening to the Chonilla Podcast. I'm Clove.
And I am Charlet, a.k.a. Michael Jean. And you're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explore the world from different perspectives and experiences.
On this Tuesday, September 24th, 2019 at 7:17 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern Time.
Woo!
Do you know who Michael Jean is?
Yes.
Because that's who I am today.
Governor General.
That's right.
Governor General of Canada.
She's a Canadian journalist and documentarian who was Canada's 27th Governor General and the first person of African heritage to hold that post. She later became the first woman to serve as Secretary General and the organization of the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie.
Whoa.
If you don't remember who she is, she was the one who greeted President Obama when he just became president, when he first came to Canada.
That's
and
right.
They were both giggling like, these white people have no ideas.
Speaking of politicians.
Yeah.
The word of the day is scofflaw.
Scofflaw.
Yes.
Can you spell that?
So the author of the book I'm reading is talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Is talking to his grandmother about her genealogy. And she's totally convinced that her ancestry has like legendary folks like George Washington, Davy Crockett, all that stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty mythologized.
Yeah.
So in the book, this is where I learned the word. It goes, according to familial lore, both were distant relatives. But what she found was a family tree stocked with scofflaws, devotees, drunkards, and out-and-out criminals.
So basically ratchet people?
In a sense, yeah, it's layered, but yeah, okay.
Trash?
Yeah.
Poubelle?
Yeah.
What is the meaning?
It's a person who flouts the law.
Criminals.
Especially by failing to comply with law that is difficult to enforce effectively.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So they are hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
Hustlers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
People who stack up parking tickets? Scofflaws.
Got it. Got it.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
Today we gonna be talking about not much. I don't know, like this week, about what's been going on this week, about girlfriend who lost her boyfriend during a proposal. We'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll be talking about Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about, obviously, Bible scriptures, 90210.
Yep.
And so much more. But before we get into any of that.
We got lots of Bible scriptures tonight, by the way.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay. Drama?
Lots. Lots, okay, of chapters. Because the chapters
are
kind of smaller.
It's not like Deuteronomy, though, right? Because that one.
Ugh. No.
I'll never forget it.
Gives me nightmares.
That was brutal.
Try reading it.
Oh, man. Thank you.
It's bananas.
Glove, thank you for reading Deuteronomy.
I did that shit so you don't have to.
Yes.
Yikes.
How was your week?
It was pretty good. I'm having a great time at work.
Yay.
I'm animating this really cool scene. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. So things are good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mine was very sick.
Mm.
We recorded another podcast on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great guest, Ricardo, for Black Canadian Content Creators.
Ricardo?
And I just started feeling gross. Mm-hmm. Like the night before, I didn't sleep very well.
Me
either. I had this in and out pain in my stomach. It was just kind of fading and coming back. Like it was going away and coming back, going away and coming back. And
that was Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
Or no, Saturday night, right?
Saturday night.
Yeah. Saturday night, I had the same thing.
And
maybe not the same thing, but I couldn't sleep, and I think I was anxious to record.
Were you?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I was trying to keep myself busy with all that zombie side stuff.
Yeah.
And
I thought you came to bed really late because you just, you know, Ronan hooked you up with the ability to play your Xbox on your computer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, he's going to be up all night.
Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ricardo came. He didn't feel too well, but it's definitely, he didn't give me anything. I think it's the girls. I think the girls gave me whatever bug that they had.
I always blame the girls, just saying.
No, but they, so that, was it the same week? Yeah. Because Lydia and Tia were both sick on Tuesday. They were sick on Sunday.
Okay.
The week before.
Gotcha.
And then Monday, Lita wasn't feeling too good. She stayed. And then Tuesday, no.
I think you guys gave each other like a gastro or something.
Definitely it was some kind of a gastro. Yeah. Because Tia one minute was like, mommy, I don't feel so good. And next thing you know, you could see her head turn around off to the side, off the couch. I have no idea how she missed the couch. Thank goodness. Right on the carpet. And she felt so bad. She's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
some people can aim their vomit. I'm pretty good at that.
Oh, man. She
some
aimed.
People...
Like
they don't know what to do with their vomit.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
That's true.
I was helping out a friend of mine a long time ago, and he was like, he was standing to the side of the toilet, and I was standing in front of the toilet, and I was just kind of like rubbing his back while he's like, you know, like doing the whole like.
You're such a good friend.
Whatever. So I'm trash. So he then started just doing this heave, right? Like this, and he knows if he's listening, he knows who he is. So, he just started doing this heave, and it started getting bigger and bigger. And then finally, it just like all came out. But when it came out, it came out at the top of his heave where his face was like pointing upwards.
That is gross.
And it just came out and up and over, and some of it landed on my socks, and it was all warm, and it was disgusting. But he was feeling better after that, and... I got a brand new pair of socks out of it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
Vomiting.
Okay. Jesus.
That was just being sick. So that took me out. And I think too, my body, the day before too, I was working so hard. I was 2 days straight. I was doing my job and working on this, little side hustle and working at my job. So I think I wore myself out, and definitely wearing myself out. Maybe I was already tired or whatever, but the girls definitely gave me whatever bug that was. I'm still kind of, I'm babying myself still. Like, I still kind of like have moments where I'm like,
So we're not friends with the girls right now?
No, they're fine.
Okay.
As long as they wash their hands. Ugh, that's why I tell them what they are. That's why I tell them when you get home, take a shower, get all that dirt off. I think we're going to get back to that routine.
That's for our safety.
It is. It truly is. It's not. I try to make it out. Hygiene. It's very important. No, it's lies. It's about us.
Totally stack it.
It's about us and our family and making sure that the little germs that they've been carrying all day at school.
Add that to your explanation. For sure.
That's true.
Doesn't need little microbes.
You walking microbes.
Oh, my God. Barf.
Yeah. You've been reading this book, and I've been excited to hear how it's been so far.
Oh my God, Shirley, it's been like, I don't know, and this is something that I need to check myself with, right? Because it's speaking to so many of my like confirmation biases. You know what I mean? Well, it's confirming a lot of things, so I want to make sure that it's not tapping biases. You know what I mean? So So I'm definitely gonna be like unpacking this a whole lot, like throughout, like. From now on.
Okay.
Yeah, because I find it an extremely interesting topic.
Are we going to talk about it?
Did you want to talk about it right now?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break first.
Okay, sure.
So yeah, this book that I'm reading, one of the books, it's this one's called The Man They Wanted Me to Be, Toxic Masculinity and a Crisis of Our Own Making. And wow, you know what I mean? It's one thing to see or to see a little bit more into this, but it's another thing to realize your contribution, you know what I mean? To start seeing like how you've colluded with it and how you've like contributed to, you know, the miseries of others and how it ultimately you do wind up paying a price for it. You know what I mean? And that to me, that price is like just feeling shitty, you know what I mean? For a lot of the things I did.
It's funny you said that you ultimately pay a price for it. Do you think maybe in some level that is the reason why that men tend to die earlier than women?
It could very well be. Mm-hmm. It could very well be. I didn't see anything like that in the book about mortality rates or anything like that. Not yet, or I wasn't paying attention. But there's got to be a lot of factors for that. And I would definitely put my money on their toxic masculinity being a huge layer to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like the he talks about in the book about risk taking, you know what I mean? How that is seen as like a masculine virtue. Do you know what I mean? And not risk taking is seen as the opposite of that.
Like, what do you like?
Well, just from what you're saying, like in terms of like the death rate. Yeah. Possibly being
holding all that.
Well, yeah, holding it in or using that toxic masculinity to do dumb shit like drink and drive.
Right. You know okay. I mean? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So in the prologue of the book kind of blew me away because he describes masculinity as I understand it to be so precisely. Like it's exact. It's like everything that he's talking about. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. He's just
Do you have a point? Some example?
I got tons of points.
Okay.
So, and it really helped me validate my own feelings towards masculinity because for me, knowing that I'm a sensitive person and having to stand up for that.
Yeah. That it's, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's who you are and it's okay. And why are you fighting me on this?
Not where I grew up and not who I grew up with. It is not okay. It is not okay. My best friends have been very critical when it comes to masculinity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And my dad, holy cow, like his whole thing is masculinity.
The very thing that maybe is drawing him, have drawn him to alcoholism.
Because I don't doubt
probably
it.
Fighting. Because your dad is I've said this, if you've heard this at all, so many times, I see your dad is a very sensitive guy.
Totally. But he is so toxic. Like his machismo, his, you know, that whole thing, this masculinity.
Yeah.
It really gets in the way of a lot. Mm. A lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he mentions that he was able to fit in because these were like everybody that he was around. Okay, so the way it goes is he was a reporter And he managed to get access to the Trump administration. And one of the ways that he managed to do that was using his conditioned masculinity. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he just like slipped right in under the radar. Yeah. So he was able to fit in because like these were the people that he was raised with. And he wrote, and he had this to say about it. I was able to be one of the first journalists to walk among them because they are my people. Because these are my people. Growing up in a dirt poor factory family in southern Indiana, I heard all of this before, though usually behind closed doors, and thus could observe without flinching or revealing myself.
Wow.
I also knew how to dress, jeans, t-shirt, scuffed boots, an old soiled baseball cap, and to carry myself as if I had better things to do and yet was ready to fight at a moment's notice.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, my God. This is like the first thing that I caught in this book. And I think I got like 30 more.
Wow.
And I'm halfway through the book. Yeah.
So he knew book. How to dress to be like not too... Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's... Excuse me. That's
when bananas. When he's talking about like that locker room talk, the author says, for those men, communication is either a utility to get something done or another opportunity to further the illusion that they are unburdened by conscience or weak emotions.
Say that again.
Okay.
let's hear that again.
So he's talking about locker room talk.
Okay.
Okay, like shit that Donald Trump said is okay, but it's not.
The stuff that whole,
disgusting. Yeah,
the campaign Kavanaugh, and whatever. The grab him by the, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of language, that kind of talk.
Exactly. He says, for those men, communication is either a utility to get something done or another opportunity to further the illusion that they are unburdened by conscious or weak emotions.
Okay.
Like it's just always reaffirming to themselves and the people they're with how much of a fucking badass they are.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Isn't how cool they are.
Tyson boys? I mean, come on.
It's conditioning.
That
it's
is like, exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm not even a man.
And there's something that I'm really glad that the author made very clear in the prologue. And I really like, I almost like cheered out loud on the bus because, it's just basically outlining like who, in a prologue, it'll tell you like who the book is for. And here he wrote, it's specifically about white patriarchal masculinity and an especially potent and toxic system of power and control that has subjugated women and minorities for generations via methodical and organized actions powered by misogyny and racism, a unique brand of maleness that held sway over the United States of America since before its founding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They saw something that worked and just kept using that in order to maintain power.
Correct.
Wow. Because, you know, being an asshole, not an asshole, is really hard for a lot of people. No, seriously, I see sometimes people maneuver to be empathetic, to be thoughtful, to be... it's hard to find a moral, how do I say it? A moral line, I guess, to not be an asshole, but mainly like not stomp on people or put down people or take away from people or rape people or lie to people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you are
or try to justify things like genocide.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that when you are trying to, I can't even imagine the people who have worked their way to whatever their idea of success is, the amount of moral compass tests that they have to go through, because you're presented with like, well, I could fuck this person over. It's not that hard.
Right.
Like, there are moments where you talk to a person, like, let's say you are an elder and you talk to a younger person and they look to be mentored. There's just so many situations where you can literally, it's so easy to mess with people.
Yes.
It's so, and
that's how you measure the character of the person.
Right. Yeah. And don't be fooled that you think that you're strong enough that you can't be fooled, because that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone can fool you.
Yeah.
They just have to know what your triggers are, or, you know what I mean? And so to not do that and take it, because it's crazy how easy it is to take advantage of human beings.
Oh, totally.
You said a line last night or a couple of nights ago. You said, like, it's easy to do because
human beings are trash.
Yeah, we're trash. We all know that. Go talk to the gorillas. They'll tell us if they can. But, and maybe the dolphins. I heard they're trash too sometimes. But anyway, but it's easy. Like you said something along the lines like, it's easy to fool human beings, because, I mean, look what we do to ourselves, how much we fool ourselves.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
It's like,
all the time. It's all we do is fool ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we're fooling ourselves, our next job is to try and fool somebody into believing that what we fooled ourselves into. Yeah.
And it's so annoying. Here's the annoying part about this whole system.
Break it down for me.
Is that the system is made by liars and cheaters and people who take, and people like, the, it's been advantageous for them. It's shown, like, everything have shown that it works.
Yeah. And another,
and you will get to whatever level doing those things. So you trying to be a good person, to be wanting to share your pie, and that you come from, like, look, we can all, we don't have to have this whole hierarchical thing going on or patriarchal thing. Like, we can all win. It doesn't make sense to people like that, because they were, their forefathers just kept telling them, no. If you stomp, you walk over someone, you lie to them, you take from them, you rape from them, you know what I mean? It's going to work. Look where I'm at. Look at where your grandfather's been. Like, And that's what you're, that's what we're fighting today. When people are like, oh, people are so sensitive, blah, 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 blah. Or, oh, why is it that you, it's like, it just makes me think like, no, you don't understand. It's not that you can't say whatever, you can't move the way you want or whatever. It's just your time, this time and age has come where there's now more, there's terms and words and education to place more accountability on your fucking bullshit. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you don't need to say whatever, you can't say whatever you want. It's just now, if you're going to say some bullshit, somebody is ready to call you on it. Mm. Because now we're not going to be polite about it. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, let's just keep it at peace, because I don't want to be arrested, or I don't want child services to be called, or I don't want this, or I don't want that. Like, yeah. I just want to keep my peace because this asshole refuses to fucking share the pie or fucking behave like a normal social human being.
Yeah, there used to be a time when...
That's all I got to say. Goodbye.
Okay, all right. Shut it down.
No, dear.
I was going to say, but then again, it's also, there's the layer, which is also a layer of toxic masculinity, is that noble cause corruption, right? It's thinking that you're doing something wrong, but for the right reason, like convincing yourself that that's an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're convinced that young black men are criminals and them being on the street is a danger for people. So you're going to try and get them in jail by all means necessary.
Yeah.
You got supremacy, you've got that noble cause corruption, you've got all of these layers, and they all stem from toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
White male toxic masculinity. Hands down. Yeah.
Man.
We're fucking up this planet pretty hard.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on the climate.
Too late. We've already started.
Don't get me started. Ugh, on how much that rings true.
Yeah, let's take a break. So just to close off what I was talking about, the toxic masculinity book that I'm reading.
Okay.
I'll definitely be adding those to the show notes.
Gotcha.
Thanks. All right. My name is
Simon. And I like Ryan.
And I like to eat poo-poo.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So the last couple of things that I wanted to add before moving on, but I'm definitely going to follow up with this in further episodes and go over some of the stuff that like really kind of stands out to me. So the last couple of things I wanted to mention was when the author is looking at social constructs like gender roles and things like that, he says, to understand this concept, one must first know from where modern traditional American masculinity originated. More specifically, white cisgender masculinity, which this book will focus on because the patriarchy that has controlled our culture has been defined and enforced by this group and includes tenets of societal privilege and white supremacy, and what necessitated both its origin and how it was adopted en masse as the status quo.
Go ahead.
You know what? I don't want you to lose that question This is a new. This will be like a new topic that'll probably inspire more questions. So go ahead.
It almost makes me think that our society today in the Western world is based on who the forefathers were.
Do you know what but mythologized though.
Right. What I'm saying is that if you have four assholes who finds land and starts a fucking constitution, guess what? You're going to have an asshole fucking ass way of moving and systems and shit like that.
Yeah. What's happening is you got assholes gaming the system.
Right.
Everywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when they game the system, they include themselves in the system to make more provisions to help them game the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big fuck you to everybody else.
It's like a huge, like, how can you ignore? You cannot ignore the fact that it was literally written in a way to be stealth, but really deep down was like, how is this going to be advantageous to us?
But that's
and our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids.
But everybody, but everybody goes through this, right? No matter what political allegiance you are, you're going to ask yourself, how does this benefit me? But you can also align yourself with some pieces of shit that are basically saying, this is going to benefit me and I don't care if it brings misery to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you don't want to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, you still want to have that opinion and how this is going to benefit me and, you know, have that. But the minute you're like, I don't care if this hurts them.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know any of them personally, so.
Yeah.
I could care. I could care less.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, the last thing I'll add is when poor white folks started to see that they were never going to achieve that Rockefeller version of the American dream, this is how the author says they reconcile this. So what made this exchange possible was the laborer's status as a white male, a privileged position that, regardless of station or worth, prioritized him above women, minorities, homosexuals, and immigrants. He may have failed to advance or conquer the world as the gods of industry had, but society was in his favor, and at home, he was still king.
Woo!
Yes. So go check out and read that book if you're interested in the topic of toxic masculinity. He definitely, the author, I'll definitely need to get his name.
We're going to get him on the show.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah. In the news.
Oh, right.
News. I like news. What is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
Devastated girlfriend posts video of her boyfriend proposing to her underwater just moments before he drowned.
What?
Yeah. Stephen Weber Jr. of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, drowned while proposing to his girlfriend, Kanisha Antoine, underwater. The couple was vacationing in Tanzania when the incident happened. In a video footage, Weber held a sign underwater asking Antoine, Kanisha, to marry him. Kanisha posted about the incident on her Facebook page on Friday, September 20th. Kanisha's attorney, an attorney posted about the tragic incident on her Facebook page. Well, so now I'm repeating myself. Basically, she wrote, "There are no words adequate enough to honor the beautiful soul that is Stephen Weber Jr. You were a bright light to everyone you encountered. You never emerged from those depths, so you never got to hear my answer Yes, yes, a million times. Yes, I will marry you. A U.S. state attorney official said on Friday that the department is aware of reports of the death of a U.S. citizen in Tanzania. The official says, "We offer our sincere condolences to the family on their loss. We stand ready to provide all appropriate counselor assistance."
Wow, that's super sad. I hope she's okay.
I'm sure she probably had so many questions. Like, how deep was it? Like, how? Oh, it's just so sad. Oh, I hope she gets a lot of counseling and love and support and.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. On another news, we had some yikes in Canada. Justin Trudeau.
Oh, my God.
Makes a groveling plea for forgiveness after 3 photographs.
Did you write that, groveling?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Of him wearing blackface that emerged, but he refused to confirm at the time that those were the only incidents. But then finally he was on the plane and he said, yeah, also in high school, that's me. So by now all of us know what happened. All of us are aware of the whole brown face and then moved on to blackface that Justin Trudeau, you know.
What do you mean moved on to blackface?
Well, the first report was brownface.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was.
That's a thing, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he was like a Persian prince or something, right? Or something, Aladdin. Who knows? And then the second time was.
Like, no, he. No, surely.
2 and 3
surely.
Was blackface.
Oh, my God. No. People said brownface, and I'm like, maybe it's because of the black and white picture. But listen, he looked like Zoolander in the coal mines. I don't know if you remember that.
I still don't remember it. Oh, my God. I forgot to watch it. To see if I can find a clip.
Yeah. He covers himself in soot, right? And his dad comes into the mine. And he just surprises his dad. Like, he's like, boo. And he's like, you see, he looked just like Justin Trudeau. It was so.
Where all you see rotten. Is the eyes?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Eyes and teeth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that one picture, he's got his arm around that girl all creepy like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. So the video was obtained exclusively by Global News. They're the one who that shows Trudeau's covered in whatever appears to be dark makeup and raising his hand in the air while laughing, sticking his tongue out and making faces.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that Global News received it from, Global News obtained the video from a source within the Conservative Party of Canada and independently verified it to be true with Liberal Party officials.
Yeah, but you know he's going to secure himself some votes, eh?
Yeah.
Just for apologizing and wanting to move on from it and just to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada is so racist.
Yeah. So the thing is. When the news for me came out about Justin Trudeau, my first reaction was like,
the fuck?
Yeah, it was like, what? And no, at first I was like, is that him? Is this a Conservative Party trying here? And then you see the picture and then I'm like, oh, man, that's him. But then I was like, well, I didn't vote for him, you know. But then here's the thing, though. After that, I really, my mind thought, it made me think of, what's her name? Oh, Yusra is her name. I remembered Yusra, her name, Kogali. I'm saying her name wrong. It made me remember the experience I felt when she said, Justin Trudeau at the time was just elected prime minister. And I think he had some kind of like a town hall meeting with the Somali community.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, And also there was a lot of like him doing some form of indigenous reconciliation and stuff like that. And so anywho, and I remember when she said Justin Trudeau is a
white supremacist.
Yes. And I thought, damn, girl, that's a little harsh.
Not me.
Right.
I was like, use that freedom of speech.
Yes. But then I remembered deep in my depth of soul of being a black woman, never doubt ever, especially the experiences of indigenous women or black women, and to really take it in. So I took it in, you know, put it in the back of my my mind, put it in some place in my heart, and I just never forgot. I was like, let's see where this is going to go. Because in my experience, when a black woman or indigenous woman tells you something and you don't see it then, it tends to manifest itself. It really does.
Like prophecy.
Yeah.
Like Cho Jones.
I'm telling you, like, when a black woman, indigenous woman tells you something, pay attention. If you are doubtful.
Stand up, be accounted for, and pay attention.
You'd be like, girl, I don't see it, but okay. and that's all you got to say, okay? Don't try to fight her and be like, I'm lazy, what are you talking about, blah, blah, blah. No, just like, okay, I hear you. Taking it in, okay. And so, and then this came out, and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, liberals, though, don't see this as being any type of white supremacy move. Like, liberals will be the first one to say, but Justin Trudeau does so much for marginalized communities. He's done so much, he should get a pass on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bananas, Julie.
Well, it made me think, I read this article on how it just kind of, it all comes together, right? And in the article, they said, in February 2017, Yusra Kogali, at the time a member of Black Lives Matter Toronto, declared a protest against Islamophobia.
Yeah, I remember that.
That Trudeau is a white supremacist. In the days following, white commentators and media scrambled to condemn her statement, to whip up outrage against her, and to demand her removal from the leadership of BLM.
Yep.
Trudeau, they declared, was the opposite of the white supremacist, and to even accuse him of racism was
That's the real racism.
Right. That was absurd. And I remember that. It was like, yeah. So she had to, I don't know if she stepped down. Anyway, the details of that. And now here we are in the election campaign of 2019, with Trudeau unmasked as having repeatedly worn blackface. Suddenly, the same media outlets that denounce Kogali are discussing whether Trudeau is racist and profess themselves shocked at the image of minstrel show Trudeau.
Right, because it's not, no, guys, you're taking this way out of context.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
So, I mean, my only thing with him is,
if you're in Canada
and
you vote either liberal or PC conservative,
it's
a vote for white supremacy. Bottom line, full stop.
Yeah. It favors white people. I'm like, you don't
have to say it under your breath.
I don't have to.
It has by design and still is.
It favors white people.
That's right.
Yeah. And now here's my thing with
trust me, because if you start talking shit about it, white people will remind you how fucking awesome it is and how out of my you are because you don't get it.
The thing is with me, with this whole thing is, at first I was like, well, you know, it was like 15, 10 years ago. We didn't have the terms. We didn't have the language. But we did, as people of color at that time, in those days, were in the culture of let's be polite,
fuck
don't say
here.
Anything, and just let it blow off and whatever, right? And
it doesn't matter if you ask a black person if you can say the N-word. It doesn't matter. It's still racist. Right. Come on.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. And I love it when
it doesn't matter that you got your arm around 2'6". That doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you're wearing like charcoal on your face.
And it doesn't matter that those 2'6", one, I think they interviewed one of them, said that he didn't think it was a big deal back then. And that's fine.
That's fine, sure. But it still doesn't mean it's not racist.
And it doesn't mean that it didn't affect other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't know if other kids of color in that school were kind of weirded out or uncomfortable. Do you know how many times I've witnessed racist things in private schools, but because I didn't have the term or the language, I just had to be a polite person and just let it go. But I came home feeling uncomfortable, you know, feeling like I'm not comfortable in my own skin,
right?
Because my skin or my culture is being made fun of. I had to like keep quiet because A, I'm at a private school. B, my parents worked really hard for me to be here. I don't want to shake things up and mess up my position to be at this school.
And toxic masculinity could care less about what you have to say.
It's so layered. So like when people say, well, that guy didn't, it wasn't bothered, that's fine. But you don't know how it affects other people. You don't know. It's like someone who's like, you know, I mean, it's kind of using an extreme example, but you get what I'm saying.
Be extreme. People, be explicit.
Some people like who have experienced, let's say, abuse.
Yeah.
Some are fine. And I've heard people like, I don't understand. I was abused, too. I got over it. Look at me now. Look at my life. And that's fine. That's you.
Yeah. Way to go. Way to deal with it. You did it. You nailed it. But got through it.
Don't put down that for the most part, exactly. In some level and in psychology and everything, there are papers that shows that for some people, it affects them. It affects like how they think, how they move. It affects everything. Their bodies.
Everything.
You know what I mean? Like some people think, oh, you're so great. Like you're fine. Look at you. You have everything. But you don't think of what about the physical ramification that it does, the fact that that person you know, went through abuse. They might have all the money in the world, but maybe their obesity is the issue of what happened in their abuse, and that's why they're obese, or that's why they're like.
Oh, do you know I what see. I mean? Okay, like, yeah. So like I don't know if it like size shaming, right? Like you size shame someone, but you don't know what's tied in behind that, or you're saying like it's okay for me to use this kind of language because I got a big friend.
No. But I'm saying is that some people like sees like let's say a person who you would is considered fat or considered obese.
Okay.
And let's say they have a successful business. They're millionaires. They have everything in the world.
Okay.
And they're like, look at me. What happened in my life never affected me?
Oh,
you know, the fact that I was abused. Girl, you are wearing it. Like, you are carrying it. Like, boy, you are carrying it. And you're not realizing that you are carrying it.
Okay.
On some level.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
on all levels.
So there's just, anyway, you get what I'm saying. But it's just.
What's it again?
What I'm saying is for people to use this reason that just because that guy was in the picture.
Yeah, tokening.
Like he was fine with it. So everyone else should be fine with it.
Yeah.
You just don't know what kind of trigger it does.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Sad. Like, yeah. I mean, even Jagmeet Singh, when he was talking about it, he had moments where he was saying how when he went through racism, it was a trigger for him. It was a remembrance of.
Oh, yeah.
I remember how much I had to physically fight people for their racist actions or things that they would say or do to me.
Right.
And how a friend had to remind him, you know, you're the rare ones. Some people didn't have the experience or didn't go to, I think, what does he do? Like, I think it's judo or something, or he knows some kind of martial arts. Like people didn't go to
Rex Kwon Do.
Right. Yes. He doesn't have the Rex Kwon Do type of skills to fight racism, to fight racists.
He's got a sweet roundhouse though.
Right. But it was a friend basically who told him like, well, for you, you were able to physically fight with people. There are
Correct.
Some people that don't know, that doesn't even have that in
Correct.
Them.
Yeah.
Right? They don't even know what to say or to just like, or have the instinctual, the instinctual reaction of just punching somebody in the face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or the instinctual reaction of just defending yourself.
And they take it in.
Yes.
And they go home.
Yes.
And it stresses them out. And they feel uncomfortable. And they carry that for however long. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah. I hear you.
Right. So...
It's layered like that.
So, at first, to go back to what I was going to say, I went it way, like, left. At first, I thought, oh, it was a long time ago. But then I was, like, thinking, you know what? For some it's triggering. what bothered me the most about this whole thing was, okay, fine. You may have, you did something then and you are feeling terrible about it and you're saying you're apologizing or whatever, but not once did he ever say what he's going to do. How is he going to, what are the actions he's going to take to understand his bias and never do that again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why did I do that then? And am I clear of what I've done then? And someone can explain to me how it affects people now. So that way I will never do this again. Like I apologize and I've taken actions by speaking to this person in psychology or this person or this professor who studies racism in Canada to help me understand what my behavior represented then and how it affects now. Like, no, not once has he done anything. Like, he's basically not putting, during his apology, I'm placing accountability that what I've done was messed up and I'm going to do the work to understand what I've done so this doesn't happen again.
Right. And I think what he's failing to realize and what he could benefit from is knowing that if he gets it, he won't mind apologizing for it and being accountable for it.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? That's the big fucking rub. It's like as soon as he understands this, he'll know how to apologize for it.
And this is a perfect example why tolerance doesn't work.
So this reminds me.
This is a person who, sorry.
No, it's okay.
This is a person who thinks being racist means tolerance. But like, you know what I mean? Like, not racist, sorry. To feel like I'm not racist because this is a tolerant behavior. And the way he apologized.
Tolerate me.
Yes. It comes from a space of tolerance.
No, it comes from a place of supremacy.
True.
What he's doing is he's demanding tolerance.
Yeah.
What he's doing is he's demanding that people around him let this one slide.
And I was mentioning.
Fuck that.
And also, the thing about that bothers me about him too is that he also has, not only because he's white and he's male and he's cis white male, is the fact that he also uses his privilege as a attractive person. And he has learned so many times.
I don't think he's attractive.
Anywho, but he's learned so many times that he could just say, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I learned from my mistake.
Sure.
I won't do that again. I'm very embarrassed.
No, this is like...
It's the usual line.
It's apology 101, though. Apology 101 ends with, and I won't do it again, or ends with, this is how you can hold me accountable. Do you know what I mean? You can look at me and I'm going to listen to you if I fall off the rails.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Anywho.
So it reminds me.
I didn't vote for him anyhow.
It reminds me of, what's it called? And a story. Oh, yeah. The coffee shop near my work.
Mm.
So I was there and I was at the coffee shop near my work. And as I was ordering my coffee, the Trudeau thing came on the news, the CP24. And the pictures were there and stuff like that. And the girl that was, you know, taking my order, she, you know, okay, in all fairness, she's always bitter. She's always like,
yeah,
just,
I don't so, like, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly.
Okay, so she's always real surly about everything, right?
All the time.
So she starts going on about this.
What bed is she sleeping on? Because I am not buying that brand.
Yeah. So she's looking at this image like, oh, this is so stupid. And I had my earbuds in, so I was like, what? Excuse me? She's like, oh, this whole thing is just so stupid. And I was like, yeah, it is pretty stupid. And she's like, oh, this happened like 15 years ago. Like, people just need to get over it and stuff like that. And I said, well, maybe because he didn't know what he did was racist then, how does he know his policies now aren't racist? Mm-hmm. How does he know he's not colluding with racism now?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, she just didn't hear it. She's just like, oh, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right. Bought my coffee and left. It's just people will defend racism in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like instinctual.
I've just said this so many times and I could always know. Dear white people who listen to this show, don't get it confused that a person of color, a black indigenous, a person of color, don't know when you are behaving in racist ways. Because for the most part, we grow and live our lives to study your behaviors and what you do.
Yeah, and silence is in consent.
And we, as people of color, know for the most part more about white people than you even know yourselves. Your behaviors and little micro, you think you're being slick, but you ain't slick, we know. And so when I see, there are so many white folks who really think, I work with someone of color alongside, so that doesn't make me racist, but I've never had a conversation about racism with them. I've never maybe probably invited them at your house.
Shirley,
we can go forever on this.
To have a conversation about racism is racist. Didn't you know that?
Oh, I had no idea. Now I know. Thanks, Chloe.
Okay, let's take a racist break. All right.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Little scripture time.
Bible scriptures. No, not too much.
Yeah. All right, it's time for that BS 90210, and we are going to go through a few chapters tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to call them out as we go. But it's mostly about Joshua and him taking over stuff. The last episode, I talked about how Joshua took everything by force, and that God was pretty pleased at the turnout. I also mentioned that this plan was all God's, and it was the legacy of Moses.
I was on Joshua's side, but no.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this.
So who are the players? Just Joshua and G.O.D.?
Joshua, well, I'll call them out. We'll see. There's a few names there. I didn't have time to get them all. But,
okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
So this first one is chapter 12.
Of?
The book of Joshua.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Okay. Yep.
And I call this one the Humbiblical Brag.
Joshua.
So now the Bible makes sure to outline in detail who was defeated and what lands have been conquered in the name of God. Turns out it was a total of 31 kings and their controlling cities that were slaughtered. The top of this list starts with all the lands that Moses has conquered before the Israelites even had their VIP passes to the promised land.
Okay.
So here are the names of the kings who were slaughtered. The king of Jericho, Ai, near Bethel, Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, Eglon, Gezer, Debir, Geder, Hormer, Arad, Libna, Adullam, Mekeda, Bethel, Tapuah, Hefer, Aphek, Lesharon, Madon, Hazor. This is like weird reading all these like syllables together like this. It just sounds like I'm talking gibberish. Shimron, Meron, Akshaf, Tanakh, Megiddo, Kadesh,
Kadesh,
Jokneam in Carmel, Dor in Naphoth Dor, Goyim in Gilgal, and Tirzah. So a whole bunch of places and a whole bunch of kings.
Y'all rest in peace.
So that's chapter 12, Book of Joshua. If you want to know about all the people that died or all the kings that were slaughtered by Joshua.
There's a king called Jerusalem?
Jerusalem, yeah. No, it's the king of Jerusalem. So these are the places.
Oh.
Yes, that were conquered. And they all had kings and they were all slaughtered. So in the next chapter, it goes over the leftover places that God wants for the Israelites and how all the lands were divided between the tribes. So we went over all the kings that were defeated by Joshua and the army of Israel. So now we're into chapter 13. So who gets what? So some time passes and now Joshua
is right. Sorry.
And now Joshua is like super old. And God tells him. So God tells him, listen, Josh.
Listen.
You're getting really old, and I still have some spots I need you to roll up on. God then breaks down all the spots to Joshua and tells him about some spots that God will personally drive the people out, so those lands can be also added to the list of inheritances promised to be divided amongst the Israelites, and only half of the tribe of Manasseh, because the other half already got their bonuses while they were still east of the Jordan River a while back.
Okay.
Okay, so there's all these like weird little caveats. So what's weird here is that God wants him to do more conquering.
Right. You know what I mean? He's old, man.
Yeah, we've got this, but go do some more. So the Bible then points out that there are some folks in Geshur and Maacah that weren't driven out and that they still live amongst the Israelites to this day.
Huh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they still live amongst the others.
Huh,
so okay. The Bible then breaks down all the inheritance given to the tribe of Reuben. It also mentions that they wind up killing that dude Balaam. Do you remember that?
Hmm.
So we talked about him when we were doing the Book of Numbers. He was killed for practicing divination.
With the gold statue?
He was doing rituals and stuff, and they killed
him. Okay.
So they just confirmed that they killed him.
Okay.
So then the Bible breaks down the inheritances awarded to the Reubenites and the tribe of Gad. Then the Bible goes over all the promised land to the last half of the tribe of Manasseh, and the Levites got zero combat bonus because God chose them as his super special tribe, saying that all the offering they get is more than enough.
Super special tribe. Super special tribe.
You get nothing. So this is chapter 14.
Okay.
And I call this one, what about me?
Joshua.
Right.
No, that's... He's like, I worked really hard.
I think that's... Caleb. But anyways, the Bible now tells us that the Israelites have all received and divided their inheritances. 9.5 tribes in total, except for the Levites.
Because they're the super special.
Super special. All you get is all you get.
You get me. G-O-D.
Yeah.
Your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be your friend. Life. Yeah. I'm going to post all your stuff. I'm going to repost all your stuff.
Yeah. I'm following you, man.
So now Joshua is in a place called Gilgal. And is approached by Caleb along with a bunch of peeps from Judah. Caleb was the only spy that returned to Moses with positive news that the Israelites shouldn't be scared of the people in the promised land before invading it, while the other spies conspired to exaggerate how dangerous it would be to try and take it by force. Remember that?
No, not really.
So Moses sent out these spies. They all came back.
And, oh, they did send spies. Yeah, okay.
And everyone but Caleb conspired to say, like, let's tell Moses that he shouldn't go invade. And Caleb was the only one like, no, you should go. They're weak.
We
you should do
this.
It. Yeah, let's do this.
Okay.
So turns out Caleb and Joshua are the only survivors of the Exodus to enter the promised land. Fun fact. Huh. Yeah. And Caleb wants what Moses promised him like 40 years ago for being such a good snitch. Caleb is all like, listen, Josh. Now that we took everything, remember when I spied for Moses and he said I was the best spy ever? And he said he would give me the land of Hebron? Well, can I have it now? Then Caleb continues to be all like, don't get it twisted. I can still whoop some ass. He then promises Joshua that with the help of God, he'll take over the land of the Anakites. And Joshua was all like, yeah, dude, Hebron is all yours forever. And take the Anakites' land with my blessing.
My blessing?
Yeah, just go, that place where people are living, yeah, just go kill them all. Take their homes. So then, again, the Israelites were supposedly at rest from all this warring shenanigans. So we talked about Caleb wanting the land promised to him by Moses and that he still got that fighting spirit of war.
Fighting spirit.
Toxic masculinity. So chapter 15, I call this one Love and Broken Promises. So the Bible now breaks down how the land of Judah should be divided between the clans.
Judah, every time I hear that name.
So to follow up on Moses' promise, Joshua gave the land of Hebron to Caleb. But Hebron was within the land inherited by the people of Judah. Caleb manages to drive out the remaining Anakites, but stops his raid for some reason once he got to a spot named Debir. Then Caleb makes an announcement. He's like, listen up, everybody. Whoever can capture the city of Debir will get to marry my daughter, Aksa.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird kind of reward, but okay. So this was enough to motivate. This was enough motivation for his brother.
Who? Joshua's brother?
Yeah, his brother Othniel to rise up to the occasion. He captures the city and marries his niece. Now Caleb's daughter Aksa seems to be okay with this whole arrangement. she tells her uncle slash husband that she's going to see her father slash brother-in-law to ask for some land.
Wow.
She rides her donkey over to see her father, Caleb. And while she's getting off her donkey, Caleb is all like, hey, girl, what's going on? And she's all like, I need to hook up on some land with some spirit water on it. And so Caleb was all like, sure, whatever you need. And totally gave her what she wanted. Then the rest of this chapter is dedicated to outline specifically how the tribe of Judah was how the tribe of Judah was supposed to divide its land for all the clans. But then at the very end, Judah declares that he failed to dislodge the Jebusites from Jerusalem. And it turns out God had promised to do this for him,
right?
But didn't for some reason.
Ooh, somebody didn't check their Google calendar.
Maybe a different plan is afoot.
In the clouds.
So in the last chapter we'll go over. So this is, I call this one, Canaanites are biblical slaves.
Okay.
Yeah. So this chapter of the Bible is short and sweet with only like 10 verses. It breaks down the allotment for both Joseph's and Ephraim's people. Turns out there are still Canaanites living in the land of the Ephraimites, and the Bible makes it very clear that they failed to dislodge them and are still working as slaves for the Ephraimites. Mm-hmm. Except the New International Version doesn't use the word slave in this context. It does say, however, that the Canaanites are required to do forced labor.
Okay.
Required to do forced labor.
They're required.
Not slaves, though, right?
Mm.
Oh my God.
Isn't that the definition of slavery?
Yeah, exactly. That's like the number one definition of slavery.
Okay. Well, at least it was not Deuteronomy.
And that's it.
Seems like it was...
Tune in next time when we go over chapter 17 and take it from there.
Joshua getting older.
That's crazy.
Things getting all divided. It's interesting.
So much to go around, but so much killing.
Yeah, right? When the website goes live and all the podcast goodies in between. You know why? Because it's important. Because you got to do this is called My Wife Broke My Nose. I have a broken nose. She headbutted me when we were arguing.
Whoa.
I can't call the cops because she has falsely accused me of abuse in the past and was arrested for it.
Okay.
We have a house together, but it's under her name. She tells me that her lawyer advised her to take our savings out and keep the house. I don't know if I can get anything if I leave. We have two kids together, but I'm tired of her mental and physical abuse and don't want to lose everything I have been working for.
Is this a Chonilla couple?
No.
No? Okay.
What should he do? Or she do?
Come up with an exit strategy?
Yeah.
Yep. And you gotta get out of that.
And you have to take all the loss and figure a way to...
How many more headbutts are you willing to endure? How many more broken noses are you willing to endure?
You have to let go of all material things and start from zero.
Yep.
Make a plan for starting zero.
Yeah.
And how are you going to stay in the relationship? Like, not in the relationship, but how are you going to find ways to have communication and relationship with your kid? So woke up this morning with a left eye. That's just, I believe it was a couple of days or following days. She saw my eye and didn't say anything as if it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I'm on my way to work. I will ask my coworkers for his lawyer's information.
So they woke up.
And his
eye is puffy and purple.
And black.
And she's all like, good morning.
Yeah, she's just like, nothing happened. Ooh, yeah. I will ask my coworker for his lawyer's information.
Remember what we talked about how we fool ourselves?
He went through a separation earlier this year. His lawyer helped him get custody of his daughter. Mm. Clearly, there's something going on with your wife. That's an unstable person to headbutt you and pretend like not seeing your eye, like nothing happened.
Yeah.
There's something really going on upstairs that needs to be looked after.
Yeah. He needs to value himself first.
Yeah.
And if she can catch up in time,
yeah,
that's fine. That's great. But he needs to keep it moving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He needs an exit strategy and he needs to value himself first.
Yeah. 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 And if he shows that to the court that I value myself, I've done the work for myself, the courts hopefully will favor him and the kids.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Don't stay in relationships where someone just headbutts you and then pretends nothing happened.
Oh my God.
I mean, come on.
Pretending nothing happening is one thing, but pretending violence didn't take place and that somebody isn't physically injured didn't take place? Like, come on.
Yeah. And eventually it's going to be introduced, or maybe it already has, to the kids. Yeah, no.
Like, this person doesn't know how far his partner is willing to go when it comes to, lashing out violently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the point of causing physical harm?
Yeah.
Like, it's alarming enough when people are slamming shit. It's alarming enough when people slam a cupboard door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
To the person and the kids.
To everybody.
Yeah.
And now there's a headbutt?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
With a busted eye?
Time to go. Take everything as a loss.
I know it's always easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because this person is fooling themselves into thinking that they're in, something that can change.
Yeah, and it's possible. I have friends.
She can change, but she needs to catch up.
Hopefully he has spoken to his colleague and provided him a lawyer's information and has moved forward to move forward in happiness.
Yeah.
And self-care.
That's horrible.
Yeah. That's it.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
No. A disagreement and plow.
Mm, no. 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 Not on my watch. That's it for the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's sign out.
Okay. Thanks for joining us this week on the Chonilla Podcast. Make sure to join the Chonilla Podcast community on Facebook. Just search for Chonilla Podcast. You can also find us on Instagram at Chonilla Love. Or on Twitter at Chonilla. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and CastBox or any other podcast player. And make sure to subscribe so you'll never miss the show. Also comment on Spotify. Tell a friend about the show. Email us chonillalove@gmail.com if you have any questions. What's the quote for the day? For the week?
Can I say it?
For the morning.
Just let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so the quote is, there's so much toxic masculinity out there. I grew up with the notion that the more masculine you are and the less you show emotion, the more of a man you are. And that was Karamo Brown.
Ooh, yeah, Karamo.
Karamo, yeah.
From Queer Eye.
You know what's funny about the name Karamo?
Oh, gosh. Karamba.
Because at first I thought it was pronounced Karamo.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I started to think that it sounds like caramel when you have a mouthful of caramel. Karamo.
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 I see that. Okay. Yep.
I'm Trash, y'all. Good night.
Later. Paul's beard, though. Go for a 1B instead of a 1.
What's a 1B instead of a 1? What's that?
The color. It's too black.
Oh.
It's too black.
You made it like super
oh
dark.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so dark.
A 1B. I don't even know what you mean by that.
It's weave colors. Air weaves and air braid colors. Well, maybe a 2.
Nice.
You might need to go for a 2. Anywho.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Trinola Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review, I guess.